The 23rd chapter of Luke's Gospel relates the trial, sentencing, and execution and burial of Jesus. And as he hangs on the cross, his life ebbing, he utters words that were generally alien to the people of that time, and certainly alien to that place. That place of Golgotha, the place of the skull, the place where people were taken out to be crucified, a long, lingering death. You remember, Christ hung on the cross for 3 hours, and when the soldiers went to see if he was dead, what does it say? Pilate was surprised that he had died already. It was a torturous death. But as he hangs on the cross, words seeking forgiveness for those who had so wronged him are prayed by him. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then he underscores those words with his own actions as he spoke to the repentant thief. In Luke's Gospel, it's recorded in this 23rd chapter. First, he cries out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then after the repentant thief seeks to be forgiven, Jesus says to him, assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. He sought forgiveness for those who were crucifying him from his Father, and he gave forgiveness to the repentant thief. He ends his ministry seeking and giving forgiveness to men. He began his ministry by preaching what? Repentance. Repentance. It says in Matthew's Gospel in the 4th chapter, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repentance is the seed. Forgiveness is the fruit. Repentance is not complete until there is forgiveness. If we're angry with someone and we say that we repent and we come to God for forgiveness, we're not complete in our repentance until we have forgiven that person. Forgiveness appears 42 times in the Old Testament. Joseph forgave his brothers who had sold him into bondage. After the 8th plague, that of the locust, the Pharaoh besought Moses and Aaron to be delivered from the plague. And what did Moses do? He went out and prayed to God that the Pharaoh and the Egyptians be delivered. And they were by the great west wind that the Lord sent. 8 times David sings in the Psalms of the forgiveness of God. Nehemiah in the 9th chapter describes God as, quote, ready to forgive, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Ready to forgive. Speaking through the prophet Isaiah, God says, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Forgive or forgiveness appears 62 times in the New Testament. It's important when we can. Now I have a program. It's wonderful. Yeah, I just put in there, you know, forgiveness. Tell it to search, and it comes up, and it gives me every passage where it appears, and also the number of times that it appears. Yeah, so I didn't sit down and go through the scripture. But it appears 62 times, so you can see how important it is. When teaching his disciples to pray, part of what he taught, of course, was to forgive us our debts. Now, debts and trespasses, depending on which translation you use, is intended to mean forgive us our sins. Forgive us the things, the bad things that we have done. And then it says to do what? Forgive those who have done bad things to us. Of course, he also taught to pray that forgiveness from God should be measured by the amount of forgiveness that we show to those who have sinned against us. This is sort of like, be careful what you pray for, you may get it. Forgive us our debts, what? As we forgive the debts of others, as we forgive the trespasses of others, as we forgive those bad things done to us. We forgive our debts, we have to forgive our debtors. the evil that they've done us. Because we are praying, Lord, if you think of it, it's saying, Lord, forgive me only to the extent that I forgive others. We're saying, Lord, limit your mercy to me to the extent that I show mercy. I know that I therefore have to show abundant mercy because I am in need of abundant forgiveness from God. In the two verses that follow the teaching of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus reiterates the need to forgive in order to be forgiven. Right after he teaches them how to pray, okay, he comes back to them and says, just look at the verses. Matthew 6, chapter 13th verse ends, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Okay? And then the next verse, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So having taught us how to pray, he underscores it with that instruction. Today's parable likewise underscores that need to be forgiving very clearly and very directly. When the owner or the rich man says, should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I have had pity on you? When we think of the sins that we've confessed over our lifetime and have received forgiveness from God for them, should we not show that same mercy to others that God has shown us? And he didn't do that, the evil servant. And it says his master was angry and delivered him to the tortures until he should pay all that was due to him. I mean, that sounds pretty cruel, pretty harsh. I should say pretty harsh. And what does Jesus say in the very next verse? So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. We have got to forgive so that we can be forgiven. We already sang in the Beatitudes, right? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. In the liturgy of St. Basil, a little while after the consecration, we pray both, quote, for those who love us and those who hate us. We pray for them. John Chrysostom teaches, quote, nothing makes us like God as being ready to forgive the wicked and wrongdoers. If we are made in his image and likeness, if we are to be like unto him, John Chrysostom tells us the most important thing is to be ready to forgive the wicked and the evildoers, the wrongdoers. And it's particularly those who have injured us. And some have been injured brutally. Many times that injury comes within our own family. A child who has turned against us. A parent who has abandoned us. A spouse who has been unfaithful. But yet we have to forgive. We have to be different than the world. The world generally says, why? Don't get mad, get even. But that's not for us as Christians to get even. It's to forgive. Because we know that God forgives us and that he expects in return that we forgive those who have done evil to us. If our brother injures us, we must go to our brother and in love speak the truth and help him to see that he has injured us. In the Gospel of St. Luke, Jesus says this in the 17th chapter. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returned to say, I repent, you shall forgive him. But it's not for us to wait for him to repent and come. It says, go to him. Go to him and tell him to repent. Sometimes that is very difficult. Sometimes we've been injured. The first most thing we want to do is have nothing to do with the person that's hurt us. Throughout, in Peter and Paul, both admonish us to pray for those who have wronged us. And not to pray, oh Lord, deliver that sinful rascal from his evilness, lest he perish in the flames of hell, where he justly should repose, however, but rather to pray for all good things, for his salvation, for his happiness, for his bountiful reception of God's graces. That's hard. It's hard. I hear the confessions. I know the problems that some people face. The things that have been terrible, the things that have been done. But as called as Christians, we have to overcome that. We have to be different. Often, it says, go to thy brother and rebuke him. It doesn't mean like yell at him. It means to tell him that he's hurt us. Because sometimes he doesn't even know. It may be a slight unintended. Maybe we misinterpreted what was said. I had somebody one time say to me, oh, I don't like what you said about in your sermon. And I said, I don't think I said that. One of the advantages of having them recorded and on the internet. I said, we will each play it and decide if that's what was said. And it wasn't. Okay? But at least the person brought it up so that we could address it. Okay, and resolve it. The church teaches the great need for forgiveness of those who have injured us, and we have forgiveness Sunday to start the great fast, right? And we have several Sundays like today throughout the year where the readings deal with the necessity of forgiving and being forgiven, of seeking forgiveness, of giving forgiveness. This is not for all here. This next part. But for some, the hardest person to forgive is themselves. They may have sinned grievously. And they go to God and they in confession, they receive forgiveness, but they don't forgive themselves. We have got to forgive ourselves our own sins. When we hear the words of absolution, right? When I always end confession, go in peace, your sins have been forgiven. Then it's not for us to argue about it with God. If he forgave you, you're forgiven. Forgive yourself and move on to try better to be in his image and his likeness. Sometimes I think it's predicated because we're not sure of God's love for us, and maybe we're unsure of that love because for some we just don't see ourselves as lovable. God loves us as we are. But the great benefit of confession is actually hear the words of forgiveness. How often have we come with some great burden and we confess and we hear the words of absolution and we leave with a much lighter heart? So too those who have sinned against us need to hear our words of forgiveness so that they too can go on with a lighter heart. So let us return to our liturgy, taking with us as a summary the words of St. Peter in his first letter in the third chapter where he says this. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. Let us bless those who love us and those who hate us. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.